A what? A Triassic crocodile, which is beginning to notice you're there. Welcome, Ms. Manzoni.
Kate.
Yes, I'm glad you took up my our dinner invitation, although I didn't expect it would take you 6 months to respond. She shrugged.
Hiram gets even richer really isn't much of a story.
Which implies you've now heard something new.
Of course he was right. Kate said nothing.
Or, he went on, perhaps you finally succumbed to my charming smile.
Perhaps I would if your mouth wasn't laced with drool.
Bobby looked down at his own unconscious form.
Vanity? We should care how we look even when we're exploring a virtual world?
He frowned. Of course, if you're right, it's something for my marketing people to think about.
Your marketing people?
Sure. He picked up a metal headband from a couch near him, a virtual copy of the object separated from the real thing, which remained on the couch.
This is the mind's eye, our world's newest VR technology. Do you want to try it?
Not really.
He studied her.
You're hardly a VR virgin, Kate. Your sensory implants are pretty much the minimum required to get around in the modern world. Have you ever tried getting through SeaTac Airport without VR capabilities?
He laughed.
Actually, I'm generally escorted through. I suppose you think it's all part of a giant corporate conspiracy.
Of course it is. The technological invasion of our homes and cars and workplaces long ago reached saturation point. Now they are coming for our bodies.
How angry you are!
He held up the headband. It was an oddly recursive moment, she thought absently. A virtual copy of Bobby holding a virtual copy of a virtual generator.
But this is different. Try it. Take a trip with me.
She hesitated, but then, feeling she was being churlish, she agreed. She was a guest here, after all. But she turned down his offer of an intravenous feed.
We'll just take a look around and come back out before our bodies fall apart. Agreed?
Agreed, he said. Pick a couch. Just fit the headset over your temples, like this.
Carefully, he raised the virtual set over his head. His face, intent, was undeniably beautiful, she thought. He looked like Christ with the crown of thorns. She lay down on a couch nearby and lifted a mind's eye headband onto her own head. It had warmth and elasticity, and when she pulled it down past her hair, it seemed to nestle into place. Her scalp, under the band, prickled.
Ouch!
Bobby was sitting on his couch.
Infusers, don't worry about it. Most of the input is via transcranial magnetic stimulation. When we've rebooted, you won't feel a thing.
As he settled, she could see his two bodies, of flesh and pixels, briefly overlaid. The room went dark. For a heartbeat, two, she could see, hear, nothing. Her sense of her body faded away as if her brain were being scooped out of her skull. With an intangible thud, she felt herself fall once more into her body. But now she was standing, in some kind of mud. Light and heat burst over her, blue, green, brown. She was on a riverbank, up to her ankles in thick, black gumbo. The sky was a washed-out blue. She was at the edge of a forest, a lush riot of ferns, pines, and giant conifers, whose thick, dark foliage blocked out much of the light. The heat and humidity were stifling. She could feel sweat soak through her shirt and trousers, plastering her fringe to her forehead. The nearby river was broad, languid, brown with mud. She climbed a little deeper into the forest, seeking firmer ground. The vegetation was very thick. Leaves and shoots slapped at her face and arms. There were insects everywhere, including giant blue dragonflies, and the jungle was alive with noise, chirping, growling, cawing. The sense of reality was startling, the authenticity far beyond any VR she'd experienced before.
Impressive, isn't it?
Bobby was standing beside her. He was wearing khaki shorts and shirt and a broad hat, safari style. There was an old-fashioned-looking rifle slung from his shoulder.
This is the end of Side 1. This program is continued on Side 2 of this cassette.